We're learning that Bilam, in a certain sense, had more access than Moshe Rabbeinu, but that doesn't mean that he's more worthy. And it's such an important point to realize that the fact that a person has something more regularly doesn't make it better. It doesn't automatically make it a better experience. Sometimes it's the quality of the experience, and not just the quantity, the sheer quantity of the experience, that makes it meaningful. But let's see. Again, one of the differences that we were explaining is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have access to Hashem all the time. He kind of waited for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to contact him. As opposed to Bilam, we gave the mashal of a person who takes a golden coin and just tosses it, and wherever it lands, sometimes it lands in the garbage dump. It's indicative of a lack of relationship. Right? The fact that you acquired the coin, you caught the coin that was thrown randomly into the crowd, right? So that doesn't mean that the one who threw it was throwing it to you. As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, his relationship with Hashem was not whenever he wanted, but that's actually a mila, that's a good thing. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was communicating with him, and to what degree and when Hashem was communicating to him, all of this was expressing the fact that Moshe had a relationship with Hashem that was what? That was truly pe'al peh, that was face-to-face, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was communicating with Moshe Rabbeinu directly. I'm sorry, hold on one second. I got to scroll down a little bit. I'm not in the right spot. Yeah, over here. So, v'chein mashalo hayyodeya Moshe mi'medavri mo. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe in a way that, again, he didn't fully grasp that Hashem was speaking to him, again, it's reflective of the fact that a person cannot see Hashem and live. Ki lo yira'enu adam v'chai. It's not possible to perceive Hashem and to survive. Ki ei efshar lischaber im Hashem yisbarach. Because it's impossible for a person to truly attach himself to Hashem. But the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is grappling with that means that he's very close to Hashem. He's close to being attached to Hashem. The fact that Bilam got to talk to Hashem all the time is not, again, an expression of being close to Hashem or closer to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, because he had aspak laria meiria, let's say it like this, you know, a person who is far from the sun, right, and is able to then, you know, or is wearing strong glasses, sunglasses, and is able to look at the sun, right, is not closer to the, what do you mean I can look at the sun? Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't look at the sun. So who is truly closer to the sun? Right? The one who's overwhelmed by it. So Bilam, in a certain sense, Bilam's like, what do you mean? What's the big deal? I have access to Hashem all the time. But that's only because you're in truth, you're far from Hashem. You're able to receive the Dvar Hashem because by you, it's just a dibor. It's just a word. It's just an idea. It's not a relationship. Moshe Rabbeinu had aspaklaria meira, who has such direct access to Hashem, peh el peh, panim el panim, says the Maharal, you can't have panim el panim all the time. It's a level of closeness that's simply unattainable all the time. And therefore, again, it's that separation that exists between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is actually not a chisaron, God forbid, but is actually a maila. It's a praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, the fact that Bilam could speak to Hashem all the time is not indicative of a great level of nevuah. You'll say, oh, so Bilam has an advantage over Moshe. No. It's because of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah that he's not able to speak to Hashem all the time. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was denied this access because of his greatness, so therefore, the fact that he doesn't have that access is not actually a chisaron. This is sort of, again, that question, can God make a rock that he can't lift? Can Hashem create something? Can Hashem create a limitation? But a limitation that a person desires is not a limitation. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu has a more limited access to Hashem is more desirable. So that's not a limitation. That's not an advantage to Bilam. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is more intimately connected to Hashem, and therefore the relationship operates differently, is not a, again, is not a chisaron. The mashal of the fellow who's running the king's kitchen and therefore has access to see the king's food before it's served. That's not a maila. I'd rather be the waiter, or more importantly, I'd rather be the guest at the king's table and not know exactly what's coming out of the kitchen, right? Than to be working as a sous chef in the kitchen and say, well, I knew about it before the chash of a guest. You knew about it because you're working in the dirty kitchen, right? As opposed to the chash of a guest who's sitting at the table. So that's the difference between the Bilams of the world and the Moshe Rabbeinus of the world. All of the limitations that Moshe had were not really limitations. They're all in accordance with the maila of his nevuah. Okay. So now, let's go a step further. Umasha amu repara kama de Rosh Hashanah v'lo kam navi od. Right, when the pasuk says there will never be a navi like Moshe, and Rav and Shmuel comment on that pasuk, Chad amar b'neviim lo kam, aval b'malachim kam. Interesting statement. There'll never be a navi like Moshe, but there'll be a melech like Moshe. That Shlomo HaMelech, interesting, the name Shlomo actually is the same letters as Limosha, that Shlomo would be a king like Moshe is a prophet. What does that mean? Says the Maharal, Ein Zakasha. That doesn't take away from the unique status of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? It means that he has an equal. He has an equal, and he's the greatest king, and he's the greatest Navi. Doesn't that make Moshe not Miuchad? Again, the point of this parak was that the Torah is so uniquely special that you need someone who is Miuchad, who is uniquely special, in order to receive the Torah. He can't have a counterpart. So we just explained, what about the fact that Bilam is sort of Moshe's counterpart? Nah, Bilam is has access to the knowledge, but he doesn't have access to the relationship. What about the fact that now Shlomo HaMelech is sort of his equal as a king to what Moshe is as a Navi? Ein zakasha, it's not a kasha. Ki perish davar zeh, because the explanation is, ki bevadai roi shia Moshe miyucha b'nevuaso. It is absolutely fitting, and it is true, that Moshe is unique in his nevuah. It's not that Moshe has to be the most unique person in the world. He has to be the most unique in nevuah specifically. If he had a partner, right, a shutaf in nevuah, lo nitna ha-torah. Because that would undermine his uniqueness as a Navi, which apparently is the uniqueness that one needs to have to receive the Torah. He was unique in Nevuah, and there never will be a prophet, a Navi, like Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore the Torah could be given specifically through Moshe, because he is a unique level of connection to Hashem. Nevuah is about that connection to Hashem. And that's what Torah is as well. Umasha amar b'malachim kam. So that which the Gemara says, but there's a king who is sort of on the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu Shlomo. Tekevan delo kam b'vnei adam kamohu. Harei haya Moshe miyucha b'nevuaso. It's true. There was someone, again, who was sort of his equal. He reached the highest level of, so to speak, his profession of Malchus. But it doesn't impinge on the fact that Moshe is miyuchad in nevuah. Af ki b'malachim kam, even though, again, there was a king who was sort of Moshe's counterpart in Malchus, d'hainu b'pnei godol madregasu u'ma'alaso shel Shlomo, shayam melech al elyonim v'tachtonim. Shlomo HaMelech was such a great king that the Gemara says he ruled over the higher worlds and the lower worlds simultaneously. He ruled over the angels, as the Gemara says. He ruled over the shadim, the demons, as the Gemara says. V'lekach nevuaso gam kem v'madrega elyona. At sheyomer b'Yisrael lo kam, aval b'malachim kam. Because Shlomo had such a grasp of the universe, so by extension he had a certain grasp of nevuah. But again, it wasn't the same type of relationship that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Again, you have a Bilam who's working in the kitchen, so to speak, and that's why he has advanced access. You have Shlomo who has such a grasp of reality, of the world above and the world below, that he also has access. But it's not coming through a channel of Nevuah. But Malachim Kam, it's coming through a channel of Malchus. And despite the fact that, again, that Bilam is tasting a little bit of the wisdom of Moshe, the understanding of Moshe, and Shlomo HaMelech has a little bit of access to the knowledge of Moshe, it's not Nevuah in the way that Moshe had it. Ki ein ha-melech b'chlal shar b'nei adam. The king is also miyuchad in his own way. He's not a regular person. He's not amongst the people. Lafichach af im kam b'malachim. So therefore, even though, yes, Shlomo is unique in his category, the way that Moshe is unique in his category, lo yatza Moshe b'masha hayim miyuchad b'nevuah. But none of this takes away from the fact that Moshe is absolutely, singularly unique when it comes to prophecy. And that is the key to be the Mekabel HaTorah. Ve'ein ha'perish gam kein, ki hayi l'shlomo nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom. And again, just to be careful here, we're not saying that Shlomo HaMelech had the Madrega of nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki ein ha'davar kein, we're not saying that. Ra' ki hayi l'moshe bevadai Madrega b'nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu had such a grasp of Nevuah that he was able, through his Nevuah, to grasp the 49 levels, the 49 gates of understanding. And even though Shlomo is the wisest of men, Shlomo didn't have that. So what does it mean that Shlomo was, there was never a Navi like Moshe, but there was a Melech like Moshe? What does that mean? Rak Masha Amar, that which it says, Aval b'malachim kam, shehigia b'nevuaso ledas dvar elyonim v'ne'elamim. Just like Moshe reached the highest, again, level, so to speak, in his department, so too Shlomo HaMelech also was a king over the elyonim. He had access to great secrets beyond this world. K'mo Moshe hayamasik dvar ne'elamim. Moshe understood things beyond this world. Shlomo understood things beyond this world. V'hine hayam adregaso b'nevua kol kach gadol, that his madrega in Nevuah was in some ways great, like the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval she yodeya ma shehaya yodeya Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom davar ze'eino. But again, it's the same way Moshe reached the highest level possible. Shlomo, in a sense, also reached his highest level possible. But again, it's a different type of relationship. It's a different quality of understanding. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had access to all 49 levels of wisdom, and this broad, all-encompassing knowledge that Moshe Rabbeinu had, this is not what Shlomo HaMelech had access to. Maybe this is what Shlomo HaMelech had access to, right? This absolute grasp of wisdom, which is a reflection of Moshe's awesome level of Nevuah, Shlomo also had that grasp of wisdom. But he came to it through Malchus and not through Nevuah. Okay? So again, what the Maharal is trying to prove here is that Moshe brought the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And there's a very specific reason for that. One has to be a Miyuchad Dika Navi in order to bring Torah to the world. What about the fact that Bilam had Nevuah also on the level of Moshe? It was coming through a different channel. What about the fact that Shlomo HaMelech also had access to the highest of realms? Also, coming through a different channel. Ulefichach, and therefore. Hayinesinas HaTorah al Yedei Moshe. The Torah could only be given through Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lo nitna Torah l'klal Yisrael. Ki roi sh'tinasin HaTorah shehi miuchedes. Ve'ein l'Torah shum shituf. El Kol Shar Hasagos, just like the Torah is totally miuchad, is totally one of a kind. It is not comparable to any other attainment, any other type of understanding, any other form of wisdom. So therefore, it has to come to us by way of a middleman who's also completely miuchad. Ru'uya Shetinasein Dafka Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom, who is completely miuchad in the most miuchad type of way. Below come Navi O. There never will be a Navi like Moshe. Now, concludes the Maharal, this parak, he says an amazing thing. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu's name, Mem Shin Hei, actually alludes to his essence. We've heard the concept many times that a person's name, so to speak, is their mission statement in this world. But because of Moshe's Maila in Nevuah, his name reflects that reality. Let's learn. For a couple of minutes now, the concept of Mem, Shin, Hei. And how does that express exactly who Moshe Rabbeinu was? Amazing idea to think of the letters in this way. Kize Moshe Ha'ish, Hu Mehatachton. On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is an Ish. He's a person, right? He's a person. And that's one of the greatest praises that we say about Moshe. Look what a human being could accomplish. Look what a human being of flesh and blood can accomplish. Kize Moshe Ha'ish, Tachton. Nonetheless, Hayim Mis'ala Ma'ala Ma'ala. Achenemer Alav V'tachasreyu Ma'at Me'elokim. Nonetheless, he reached such lofty madregos. He grew and he grew and he grew, Ma'ala Ma'ala, until it says about him in Tehillim that he was slightly less than the divine, slightly less angelic. And about Moshe Rabbeinu, and only about Moshe, said Mishlei Perek Lamed Pasuk Dalid, V'alav Ne'emar Mi Ola Shamayim V'yed. Has anyone gone up to the Shemayim like Moshe Rabbeinu and come back down? Mam is unique. Umivnei Kim Moshe Hayim Min HaTachtonim Umin HaElyonim. And therefore, we have to remind ourselves, in the fullest sense, Moshe was absolutely a human being, a person of this world, and yet he reached the highest levels possible. Kamosha Amru Shinikra Moshe Isha Elokim. He's an Ish Elokim. Interesting phrase. Zeh Moshe Ish Elokim. He's Ish Elokim. The Medrash says something, it's a delicate idea. The Medrash says he's called an Ish Elokim because Michetzio Ulamata, his lower half, he's an Ish. Umichetzio Ulamala Hu Elokim. He's half man, half angel. He's half human being and he's half divine. It's like the pasuk we read this past Shabbos. Anche Kodesh Tiyun Li. Anche, be human, but be Kodesh, but be totally transcendent. Moshe Rabbeinu achieved that. V'lakach, and therefore, I efshar lomar, rak shahaya kamo emtsa'i bein elyonim bein tachtonim. So since Moshe is absolutely a human being from this world, and yet he's absolutely comfortable in the world above, so he becomes the perfect what? The perfect emtsa'i, the middleman, to bridge elyonim and tachtonim. He's the one who's the perfect combination. The emtsa'i, a middle, means what? A bridge that combines. It's mitzuraf l'shneim. It's a combination, the perfect combination of both. And therefore, about Moshe, again, it says, Ola shamayim, he went up to the heavens, it says in Mishlei, vayirad, and he came down. Because he was comfortable in both worlds. Vahayol Moshe mishpat emtsa'i. And therefore, he has this unique distinction of being this category called emtsa'i, the middleman. Shenamar Anochi Omid bin Hashem u b'neichem. Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, I am standing between Hashem and you. I am the Shadchan to bring together Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, how do you see this in his name? Look at this. It's fascinating. Ulefichach b'shem Moshe. Let's start with the first letter, Mem. The letter Mem is the middle letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, you'll tell me, how many letters are there in the Aleph? There's 22 letters, Aleph to Taf. But we know there's 5 Sofit letters, right? So there's really 27 letters. Which means that the middle letter of the Aleph Beis would be number 14, right? 13 on one side, 13 on the other side. The 14th letter would be the middle. So if you count Aleph to Yud, that's 10, right? Chaf, Chaf Sofit. Right? Did I do that right? Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zion, Ches, Tes, Yud, Chaf, Chaf Sofit. Lamed, Mem. Yeah. So Mem is 14. So the 14th letter is really the middle of the 27 letters. So the first letter of Moshe Rabbeinu's name is Mem. Why Mem? Because Moshe is Mamish, the middleman. That's what Mem represents. Beautiful. Shehi emtsa'is beseder alpha besa. Moshe Rabbeinu, it starts with a Mem. He's the Shadchan, he's the middleman, and therefore he begins with the middle letter of the Aleph Beis. What's his next letter? Shin. Why Shin? What would you think Shin represents? So Shin, right, is as close to the end, as close to the full thing as you could possibly get, but being one level less than the full thing. Shehi madrega ha'achrona chutz min ha'achas. Shin is the final madrega, so to speak, minus one. And that's exactly what it says about Moshe Rabbeinu. On the pasuk, v'techsereyu ma'at me'elokim, that Moshe is slightly chaser from Elokim. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Chaf Aleph, that there are 50 levels of understanding, and they were all given to Moshe, Chaser Achas, minus one. So Moshe had 40, like we said, 49 levels, 49 Sharei Bina. So Moshe Rabbeinu, again, represents this idea of Shin, which is what? Slightly less than the whole thing. So he's Mem, he's the middleman. He's Shin, he's slightly less than the Madriga Achrona. He's reached basically as far as the human being can go. And lastly, what is Moshe? He's Hey. What is the letter Hey? Va'os Hey, Moresha Yorei L'tachtonim. Again, what are the two praises we said of Moshe? He's slightly less than divine, so that's Shin. And Mi Ola Shemayim Vayirad. Who could go up and still bring it all back down into this world? This world, right? This world that Moshe could be so lofty and still bring it all back down to us is an amazing thing. To be able to bring, to transport the Torah from the Elyonim to the Tachtonim, that's the letter Hey. The letter Hey represents this world. The Gemara says when Hashem created the world, Olam Haba is a Yud, and Olam Haza is a Hey. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Hey is Mora Sheyored the Tachtonim. V'yadua ki ha'odam madrega chamishis. And we know that a person sort of represents a fifth madrega. Now usually we talk about four parts of the Bria. We talk about domeim, inanimate objects. We talk about someach, plant life. We talk about level three, animals. And level four, human beings. When we talk about level five, sometimes we call Klal Yisrael. The Kuzari refers to the Jewish people as sort of a fifth level. The Maharal says we also talk about five levels. And the way that he explains it is a little different. He says there are pshutim, right? Pashut means, you know, simplistic creatures or beings. Again, I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to when he calls that Madrega Rishona. Murkavim, right? Things that are made up of composites. Vahadomimim. Domimim in this context, he's using it synonymously with plant life. Even though it sounds, usually we use domim as inanimate, like a rock. So he's saying there's something which is pashut, which is singular in its dimension. There's something that's a composite, like a rock, which is actually made up of many different minerals, materials that are formed together. Then there's domim, which we'll call plant life. There's balei chayim, that's level four, animal life. And then there's adam, which is level five. So humanity sort of represents level five, sort of the purpose of all of creation, but in the lower sense, in the lower realm. So Moshe is the mem, he's the middleman, he's the shin, he reaches as high as you possibly can go, and then he brings it all back down into the human experience. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest level possible, the full experience, minus one. And then he brought it all back. And he brought it all down into the letter Hey, which again is the fullness of this world. V'davar zeh mivu'ar, and this is something that is well known. And again, the Maharal in many places talks more about these madrigals. But fascinating. Mem shin hey, just to say such an explanation of Moshe Rabbeinu's name is fascinating, at least to me. I think it's amazing. Harei nizba'er lecha, ki nisyached Moshe b'nevua. So says the Maharal, in conclusion, I have explained to you that Moshe, again, are there other people who have unique madrigals? Yes, Shlomo had a unique madriga. And Bilam, in a certain sense, had unique access to Hashem. But that's not the greatest. Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to be the highest and the lowest simultaneously, to be that middleman, to reach the highest levels of human achievement, and to be able at the same time to bring it back down to Klal Yisrael, and to do it all in a way of relationship, nevuah. Right? Nevuah, again, nivsvasayim, conversation. Not just collecting ideas, but a dialogue, being able to dialogue with Hashem, peh el peh, panim el panim. That's what Torah itself is all about, and that's what Moshe represents. And therefore it makes perfect sense that specifically through Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah was given. We'll explain Amir Tzashem a little bit later on in Parachav Gimel. We're going to continue to explain. I know we still have two Chav Beis, but this that he's referencing is in Chav Gimel. But we're going to come back to this idea, the Yichudo Shamosha, Shebishvil Oso HaYichud Nitna Al Yadav HaTorah Miuchedes. We'll talk further about how Moshe is so unique, and because of that uniqueness, he's most worthy of Torah. But again, the starting point of the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu is his uniqueness in terms of his Nevuah, and therefore the unique Torah was given through the unique prophet, Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so Ad Kan, Parachaf Aleph. Next time we'll begin to talk about Moshe and Aaron's response to Korach. What exactly was Korach's complaint? What was the whole business with the Tcheles and all the trouble that Korach gave Moshe Rabbeinu? A house with full of Svarim. Does it need a mezuzah on the door? Those famous midrashim about Korach's challenge to Moshe and Aaron. We'll explore that in Meretz Hashem next time. Okay, all right. 21 chapters. Baruch Hashem, making progress. No, Chanukah, what do you say?